1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The law feature on Hot Business is brought to you by leading full-service law firm Webber Wenzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Webber Wenzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, we've just heard from Minister Barbara Creasy about the work that government is doing behind the scenes ahead of COP26. And reading The Economist recently, three articles caught my eye warning about the implications of bad climate change planning and policies that might arise from the current global energy squeeze, resulting from doing the right thing in the wrong way. And it's very important to bear that in mind. If governments don't manage the energy transition more carefully, then today's crisis could be the first of many that threaten the vital move to a more stable climate. Well, let's cross now to Paula Ann Novotny, a senior associate something of a whippersnapper within Webber Wenzel's environmental team. Paula Ann, welcome to the show. Firstly, what do you see as the main negotiation points at this year's COP? Because they're calling it a super COP.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be with you today. I think it's firstly important to note that our policy or our negotiation strategy is driven by policy, right? So we've heard from the minister saying we're really going to ask the developing countries to support their pledges and financing efforts by developing countries and how that whole adaptation framework looks like from a support perspective. But really, in order to get that support from the developed countries, our country is going to have to evidence to COP how we are capable of meeting our own commitments as a developing country and what we've done so far. So there have been various developments over the last few weeks that have been the talk of the town, and our government has been very active in the space in preparation for COP. So we have our new or our revised national determined contribution. So this really speaks to our mitigation strategy and how we've revised and made more robust our commitments in terms of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions at a national level. And these really set out our targets for a 2025 and a 2050 perspective. And this will obviously then feed into our sectoral implementation plans. But outside of that, we saw a recent scurry by the government to finally publish and accept or adopt our climate change bill. So given this adoption, it will soon become an act and a formal piece of legislation, and this will formally regulate our efforts and implementation plans from a mitigation and adaptation perspective. How it's happened so quickly just for COP is a bit of an interesting one. I mean, it's been in draft form since 2018, so for the last 3 years, we've seen no movement on it. But a positive move nonetheless in motivating to the developed countries how we are taking the steps from a policy perspective. And on the adaptation side, we now also have our adopted climate change adaptation strategy. So that's really acknowledging how the climate change aspects feed into the social impacts of climate change, and something that South Africans been very active and forthcoming on in terms of recognizing our commitment to the just transition. So you may have heard a lot about this just transition concept, and there'll be a lot of it coming out of COP26, but it's really about not only driving greenhouse gas emissions to be reduced from a mitigation perspective, but really how our social and economic elements adapt to become more climate resilient and have sustainable development in the future. Yeah. So we have some very exciting developments there.
And to the minister's point, you know, Africa's development can't be stifled considering we are less than 1% of global emissions, while the developed world has benefited from a century of development via their emissions. So that's the just part of the conversation. And we know Article 6 is probably going to be one of the priorities. What do you see as South Africa's main priorities at this COP?
It's quite interesting to hear the focus on Article 6, because from the Paris Agreement perspective, the Article 6 mechanism is very specific in how it plays out. And what it really speaks to is the international carbon market, which South Africa hasn't been a big role player in to date. So that's typically your emission trading schemes that the EU subscribes to, and how countries support others in terms of financing renewable or developmental projects and benefiting from those emission reductions themselves as a financier or investor. So it will be very interesting to see how from COP26 our role is defined in that international carbon market, given that we have a carbon tax mechanism. But one of the big hot topics that we're seeing for business coming out of this is the sort of misconception that carbon offsets under our tax regime are aligned with or the same as carbon credits in the international space. And they really are quite nuanced pricing instruments and how they are both either eligible or accessible to different role players in our markets is something worth considering and that a lot of advisors are giving advice on at the moment.
And we know those carbon border, the taxes, the CBUSs are going to create a lot of debate. I think there's definitely an argument to be had that if you look at what's going on around the world, linking climate change to trade and you know, how much carbon intensity is there in the products that you export, we do need to be mindful of things like green protectionism that could be cropping up as well. What do you see as some of the main sticking points at this COP?
Again, I think it will be South Africa's ability to meet its commitments and how much it's done so far, and focusing on avenues other than financing alone. So, I mean, we have a very separate agenda for mitigation versus adaptation, and those have very different sectoral focuses. So while we focus on sort of holding the developed countries to their pledge to assist us in our mitigation efforts in our energy and transport sectors, we do also have to continue our focus from a capacity building or private sector participation perspective in other sectors in order to ensure that our just transition makes us climate resilient from a purely South African perspective. So that context or that jurisdictional focus becomes very important to how effective we implement our measures and achieve our commitments. And so these will require focuses in like the commercial forestry and agricultural sectors, our health sectors, our disaster management frameworks, and our biodiversity and ecosystem efforts. So there's a very broad range of opportunities and challenges that we face alone that aren't all going to be solved by financing from developed countries.
And just lastly, you know, if you're a business out there wondering what role you should be playing in all of this in addressing climate change, and back to your earlier points, I mean, we've got policies, you've got laws in terms of the climate change bill, we've got, you know, the Carbon Tax Act as well. What role should business and corporates be playing here?
Really, a compliance mapping function goes a long way to risk management and implementation function. So really tracking all these positive developments, what stage they are, from draft to final, what their implications are going to be from a business perspective. And as we know from an ESG compliance role, all these aspects of climate change are starting to come onto the board agendas and having impacts for direct liability. So really staying upfront and up to date with these policy developments and when they are implemented, what they mean for you from a liability perspective and what you need to do to assist South Africa in complying with its international obligations will be the focus areas.
Very important indeed. Paula Ann Novotny, Senior Associate in Weber Wenzel's Environmental Team, talking COP26 and the law feature, which was brought to you as always by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.